All right, so on your table, I gave you this little handout. Mine's filled in, yours is not. So I'm going to go through them, and I'm just going to tell you that there is one, number 8, for all of you type A personalities. The phrase that goes on number 8 is too long for the line. So go ahead, and it's not going to be perfect on your piece of paper. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that that's what I filled out. So women have, we kind of have a difficult time. Do you have the, don't pull it up yet, but you have that one slide of the flag? No? Okay. So we have a struggle that men will never understand, several of them, like falling asleep, on clean, white bed sheets and, waking up in the middle of a Japanese flag. Do y'all know what a Japanese flag looks like? It's just one big red dot. Y'all get it? No? Yep. If you're pregnant or postmenopause, you probably have forgotten about those things. There you go. You wake up on a Japanese flag. Painting your nails with your not dominant hand, you know, painting your dominant hand, that's just a pain. Going up the stairs, boob, I'm going to hurt for no reason today, boob, or I've fallen out, I'm going to go different directions, two different size boobs, I'm going to do whatever I want and slide out underneath your bra today, boobs. Shaving my kneecaps that I've been doing for 25 years of practice and I'm still terrible at it. The stress of an unexpected period, but then the stress of not starting your period and not starting your period, yeah. And not starting. And then trying to get the wings of your eyeliner even on both sides. There's always one eye that does better than the other. Why is that? Men will never understand what that's like. Yeah. So being a woman is quite complicated in itself. But I want to talk to you about a little bit more complicated stuff. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For we were not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So last night I spoke about the mountains in our life and the ability for the presence of the Lord in our life to fill that up, to cover that up. If you could peel back the covers in our world and look at a spiritual dimension, we have the heavenly dimension and then we have the opposite, which would be the demonic, the Satan side. And oftentimes we think that the struggles in our life, the struggle to be in God's presence for an extended period of time, the struggle to make the time to do that, the struggle to discipline ourselves to do that. We oftentimes think that it's just natural things that keep that from happening. But if we could peel back the covers and look at those two different worlds, then we would see that oftentimes it's not just a struggle of flesh and blood, but there is a way higher power that we are fighting against. And sometimes when we simply becoming aware of the spiritual warfare that is happening, just reminding ourselves, oh yeah, this is not a battle of flesh and blood. This is actually not just a battle of me against my 5-year-old. There's a lot more to this. Then we up our war game. You know, we're more prepared. Okay, I get it. I need to spend more time in your presence. I need to put myself around stronger people. I need to spend more time in the Word. I need to consciously pray about this. And so I just want to talk to you about spiritual attack this morning, and how do you know when you're under spiritual attack? What is spiritual attack? A spiritual attack is a series of events coordinated by the demonic realm in order to abort promises, shipwreck faith, oppress a believer, and to stall out our destiny. To stall out our destiny. When the fall in the garden happened, and Satan convinced Adam and Eve to sin, to eat of the tree, then there was a sense in him that he felt like he won. And then Jesus comes and he is here to save mankind, to restore the relationship. And then he's crucified on the cross. And Satan thinks he's won, right? And my favorite part in the Easter production that we've done is when I've got Jesus on the cross and he's all bloodied up, which we've kind of perfected as years go on. And y'all all know Jeff, our Satan, like our resident Satan. I remember a funny story really quick, even though I said I wasn't going to tell any of these. I was going to run through. Funny story is we were all sitting in programming one year the year we decided we were going to have a Satan like that. And my husband, Luke, was like, there is some dude that sits in the balcony every week, and he's got a shaved head, and he is so jacked that we have got to make that dude Satan. Like, that's, we got to do. And so we go to Dave, Mr. Guest Service, and we're like, who's the bald jack dude that sits in the balcony every week? We need him. And so that's kind of how Jeff became our resident Satan. But one of my favorite parts that he plays and what he does so well, and we actually spent a whole practice working on just because it was so impactful to me, is that moment that Jesus is dying on the cross and Satan is kind of gloating around the bottom of the cross. And he's beating his chest in such pride, like he has had this victory. And so, you know, he thought that he won. But the reality is, 3 days later, Jesus rose again. I mean, he went and conquered hell, right? And so when you and I are under spiritual attack, the battle's already been won. We just have to open our eyes to realize, okay, I'm fighting against that. Now, I have the power in me, the same power in me that conquered him, the same power that conquered hell and the grave is in me. Now, it's time for me to activate my power. But sometimes we just need to have our eyes open to the fact that we are under spiritual attack. So I'm going to give you 8 ways that you can kind of analyze if I'm under spiritual attack. And then I gave you a score of 1 through 10 underneath. And you don't have to fill out that score. If you want to go home and you want to think about it and really pray through it and decide, or if you know, oh, no, that's a 10, circle it. And then you keep it. And then whenever you feel like, you know, something's not right, then go back through it. And you can go, oh, okay, I see. This area is really where he's coming after me. All right, so number one is, and I'm going to go through these. Remember, we're going to do cliff notes. 1, the lack of spiritual passion. The enemy comes to steal your tenacity for the things of God. So when suddenly your prayer life seems like it's stalled, the lack of spiritual passion. Your commitment is tested and you can't seem to push through things. You feel as though you're just going through the motions. Have you ever met somebody who is a new Christian and they just gave their heart to the Lord and they are so on fire and so exuberant about everything and they want to tell everybody? Sometimes we just lose spiritual passion, and that can oftentimes be a sign that we are under spiritual attack. 2, extreme frustration. During a spiritual attack, the enemy uses a variety of circumstances to oppress the mind and to bring great frustration. A person who is under siege finds himself on edge and anxious. I feel like anxiety is kind of the word of this culture these days. And I do not think that it's something that we're fighting that's just a flesh and blood thing. I think it is a huge spiritual push for the enemy. The other day, I had a girl on Facebook, and she commented, her status was, if you've ever struggled with anxiety, put it here. And within 3 hours, there was 180 people that had commented on that. That's me, that's me, that's me. That's no coincidence, right? The enemy's up to something. 3, purpose or confusion about purpose. During a spiritual attack, there is often great confusion about spiritual direction. This is one of the chief goals of an attack, to get a believer out of destiny. That wrong move begins by bringing confusion. When all of a sudden I was very clear about my calling at the church, I was very clear about where I'm supposed to be serving and why I'm supposed to be serving. And now all of a sudden there's kind of confusion on purpose. You know, does it really even matter what I do here? Why do I even come? I'm not going to be able to make it this week. And all of a sudden, I'm very confused about my purpose. It's no longer a clear goal. If the enemy can get us confused about our purpose, then he gains a lot of ground in our life. And sometimes, you know, our purpose can be wishy-washy. And so I'm not talking about changing your mind. Again, there can be natural things that happen. Like Tinley, my 6-year-old, for the longest time, when you would ask her, when you grow up, what do you want to be? She would say, I want to be a tree. Seriously, she won't go to cheerleading. She won't do dance. She just wanted to be a tree. And now, I don't know if you would call it a confusion of purpose, but now she's decided that instead of a tree, she'll be a mermaid. So if you find yourself confused about your purpose, it could be a spiritual attack. 4, a lack of peace, a lack of peace. The enemy bombards the mind with various thoughts and ongoing temptations in order to rob you of your peace. The mind becomes irritated and exhausted. The enemy does all that he can to bring mental fatigue, mental fatigue. Now, a lot, peace is something that is precious. And I can always tell when there's a true attack going on in my life because I get diarrhea. Seriously. Like when I get upset and something is not going right, my stomach starts to run off. Let me just tell you a little secret. If you're ever at church and I'm speaking or I'm doing a drama and you see me walk up to the front row and I sit and then I lean over to Eddie and I say something and he gets this like deer in the headlights look and then I run off, it means I just told him, I gotta go to the bathroom. I don't know when I'll be back. And it hardly ever doesn't happen. Right? And I always know this is just the enemy. He's robbing me of my peace. I know, Lord, that you gave me a word, you gave me a message, but the enemy does not want me to do it. And I get upset and I get nervous. Now, there's a natural part of being nervous, right? When you're going to get up. But then there's sometimes unnatural, like when you're about to walk on stage and it's coming out right then. At one time, and I know when I get up there on stage and I get under the presence of God, it completely goes away and I completely forget about it. But one time, there was this one time we were speaking in a marriage event, a marriage 101. And I knew that whatever, we were talking on conflict, and I knew that what the message that we had to deliver, the enemy did not want us to bring this message. Luke and I love that man. I love him so much. And I think he's perfect and fearfully, wonderfully made. And like, I could go on and on about how much I love him. And we literally have been married for 11 years and we literally have spent 99.9% of our time together. We live together, we sleep together, we eat together, we work together, we share an office together. We oftentimes, I don't like to ride to work without him. We're together all the time, right? And we hardly ever fight. Now we disagree, but we hardly ever fight. Well, this week that we were speaking, we had a fight. I mean, I'm like, this is not natural. You know, there's like natural marriage disagreements, and then there's something where I'm like, this is not natural. Then we get up to do the message, and we're doing the message, and we're back in the chapel, and I'm sitting there, and we're talking, and it's my turn, it's my point, and I say to Luke, oh, look at there. Somebody just came to the window from the kids' church, and they waved me out. It looks like Kinley needs me. And he looks at me like, are you kidding? You're going to leave me while we're talking to the marriage group about conflict? And I walk right out, and I get back to the window where they're all facing him, and he's facing me in the window. I'm like, I have to go. I was like, wow, the enemy really doesn't want them to get this message. I mean, it's never happened during service or actually when I got on stage. But that one, we fought. It was a struggle of a week. And then I got up there and I had to go to the bathroom right in the middle of it. So I didn't have peace. A lack of peace is a sure sign. Number 5, unusually sluggish and tired. A lack of energy and vitality are often the result of an extended attack. Listen to that. Often a result of an extended attack. Certainly these issues can occur with natural problems, especially for new moms. Like my sister is not here this morning because the twins were up all night long. So there is natural exhaustion that happens, right? There's natural exhaustion when your kids are in high school and you're going to 50 different games. There's natural exhaustion when you get older and you're just older. But I'm talking about a sheer, what? What? Did I say something? What? Do you not get tired as you? I'm way more tired than I was when I'm 20, right? No? Okay, unless you're older, then you don't get tired. No. But here's a sheer sign. And that's why I want you to have the piece of paper is because I would love sometime when you would be in your devotion time for you to pull this back out and you would look at it and say, you know, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. But this is a different level of tired and exhaustion where you feel like something's not right. And then you can say, this is often a sign of an extended period of attack. Number 6, a strong urge to quit an assignment. The enemy hates when a believer is boldly walking out their purpose and a plan. He does all that he can to move the Christian away from their destiny. During an attack, he will overwhelm them with thoughts and desires to give up and abandon their post. This is one of his greatest purposes behind spiritual attack. That strong urge to quit oftentimes is when we're trying to do it in the natural, right? We're trying to get it done by ourselves. But listen to this. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, even when we're tired and even when we're exhausted. Because remember, he conquered hell, right? So when you feel like you're ready to quit and you're ready to give up, just pause. This is not about flesh and blood. this is what the enemy wants me to do. And I know that that's a mountain, right? And what do I do with mountains? We get in God's presence. And now the waters begin to rise and the mountains get smaller and the attack is not so big. Number 7, a drawback towards old bondages. In a long spiritual battle, a person is often pulled back towards negative cycles that they broke free from. The enemy wants to enslave them once again in the same old bondages. If he can discourage you bad enough to give in to sin that you have been free from, then he can lose shame and condemnation upon you, causing you to spiral down into deeper and deeper defeat. Old patterns. Number 8, questioning direction and call that was once so clear. Here's the thing about the enemy. If he can come in at all different angles, and now I'm tired and I'm exhausted and I've got these thoughts and I thought what I was doing was right, but now I don't feel like what I'm doing is right. I've lost my peace. Now all of a sudden he begins to wear us down and our whole sense of reality becomes completely skewed. And so sometimes it's just a lot more comfortable to slip back into those old patterns, those old cycles. As many of as you have heard me talk about, I'm not crazy about tornadoes or storms. The day that we had Father's Day, you know, when we have all the really nice cars out in front of the driveway, we had the car show. Well, that weekend I was driving the black Dodge Charger. It was really fast. It was really nice. And I was sitting at the red light at Dorchester and Ashley Phosphate, and I was sitting in the McDonald's side about to go across onto Ashley Phosphate. And it was storming. A huge storm was coming, and the cloud was really dark. And then all of a sudden, this, like, spiral, swirl thing started happening. And that new gas station that's on the corner being built, there was all dirt parking lot. So they had big piles of dirt. Well, the dirt was blowing everywhere in the intersection, right? And I'm like, oh, gosh, oh, gosh, oh, gosh. And I have, like, $45 worth of weather apps downloaded onto my phone that Luke has deleted that I'm not allowed to look at on a regular basis. So I'm trying to reinstall the app on my phone so I can see if I'm under tornado siege or not. And this guy who, you know, I'm not allowed to get in the closet anymore. I've been banned from being in the closet unless there is a tornado so that I don't scar my children. And I was sitting there, and a man next to me has got, apparently what I figured out is his wife is in the car behind him. He jumps out of the car and starts hollering, tornado, tornado, go back home, go back home. And so they make a U-turn right there as we're parked at the red light, and they head off home. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm stuck in a tornado. Well, I call Luke. And Luke doesn't answer, so I call my dad, and I am hysterical. I'm hysterical. So I go to my dad's house. My mom and dad are there. I can't leave. I'm just crying. It was so bad. It was so scary. Later on, I ended up talking to Chris and Brian, who are both very rational, smart men. They had been at the church. Brian actually left and went home because the storm was so bad. He was worried about a tornado. So he went home to make sure that the boys and Miss Pat were okay. So everybody, Julia and Lindsay were at the pool. They left. Everybody thinks that there is a tornado, right? My husband is in West Ashley. So finally, he calls me back. Blue, pretty skies. So I'm crying. I'm like, babe, I thought there was a tornado, and I couldn't get you, and you weren't there for me, and it was a real tornado, and this guy next to me said, tornado, tornado. And it wasn't, I didn't call Whitney, and she said tornado. It was a man that said tornado. And so he says this. He goes, well, did you look up in the sky? Was there a tornado? And I was so mad. I was so mad. And I was like, I'm going to have to get off the phone with you right now. And so I got off the phone, and later on, and he just kept sticking by that argument. And when we're with Brian, I'm like, Brian, tell him how bad that storm was. And I'm like, Chris, tell him how bad the storm was. And he keeps saying, but there was no tornado. Like, a tornado is not a guessing game. You just look up in the sky and there's either a tornado or there is not a tornado. But in the midst of it and the dirt flying everywhere and the man turning around, I was so confused. I don't know if I was in a tornado or not. But And so I feel like that's sometimes what happens when we're under spiritual attack is there's so much going on and so much dust flying and so much stuff everywhere around. And fear sometimes can get so bad and so built up that like the logical concept of am I in spiritual warfare doesn't... where it's just an easy solution, you know? I mean, it might be a tough battle, but the solution, the battle's already been won. But we're sitting there trying to download our apps, trying to convince somebody, I think there might be in a tornado, and all we have to do is look at the sky. Is there a tornado or not? Right? So we have to look at signs and say, am I under spiritual attack? Yes, we are. My hunch is that if we all circled our scale from 1 to 10, at some point on there, if we were to give it a grading factor, we would all land under yes, we are under spiritual attack, right? But here's the deal, and I'm going to say this as we wrap. The battle's already been won, right? It's just our sword, like Wanda said, to pick up and fight. And sometimes just reminding ourselves that it's a spiritual battle, I'm not just overly exhausted, that it's okay that I feel like I've lost my purpose or my passion, or I feel like I'm slipping back into old cycles. Now I know what I'm fighting. Now I know what I'm battling, and it's my sword to pick up. When you become aware, step one. Step two is you begin to make good choices. I know that in order for me to cover these mountains, I pull back the covers. The enemy is driving this in me. So I need to get in God's presence. I need to spend time with him. You help manage your spiritual attacks by keeping your relational bonds strong. Who do you have around you?
Girlfriends.
And you warfare together. We battle together. I got a text message right before I was going to walk on stage of a friend of mine. And she said, can you please call me? And I said, I can't right now. I'm about to walk on stage. And she said, I just went to an ultrasound, my first baby. She said, and everything was off. I'm supposed to be 8 weeks. The baby's measuring 6 weeks. They don't know if I'm losing the baby or what. And I said, well, guess what? I'm going to go on stage, and I won't share your name, but can I tell them what's going on? We're talking about spiritual warfare. Can I just ask everybody to pray? And she said, please, please do. Because that's what we do. We battle together. We win together. The scripture says that we have the power to tread on snakes, on serpents. That's our power. Under our feet and stilettos, right? That's our power. I mean, I get that visual of, we were just praying for somebody, and I had that visual as Dad was praying of, scripture says that whenever God cast Lucifer out of heaven, he fell like lightning. I mean, against the power in you and I, he has no authority. He has no power. He has no right. You have the power over every single stronghold in your life. Get in God's presence and make it happen. I'm going to end it with a story. Scripture, it's the Sabbath. Jesus walks into the temple, right? All the religious leaders are around. There's a man with a lame hand. And so Jesus says, I'm going to heal the hand. So he says to the man, stretch out your hand. And y'all know I'm kind of dramatic, so I love to just imagine what the scene looked like. You know, and all the religious leaders are getting all worked up and all upset, right? Because it's the Sabbath. And you don't do work on the Sabbath because it's a religious rule. But Jesus came. He wasn't about the religious rules, right? He wasn't about just doing right and doing wrong. He was about you and I and making us whole and covering our mountains and healing us one miracle at a time. So how long did it take the man to stretch out his hand? Was he nervous? Was everybody going to judge him? Would he be in trouble? And at this point, the religious leaders, they're looking for a way to get Jesus, right? I mean, he's already done this once before at the Pool of Bethesda. I mean, they know that he will do this. So they're just looking. I don't know. I think Jesus kind of enjoyed it, right? It's not about religion. Stretch out your hand. I didn't even think that my theme for the weekend could have been stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. So embarrassed. It's really big. No, stretch it out. Finally, he does. And he's healed. But the religious leaders were the one that was against it. Because what was behind them? See, it wasn't a battle of flesh and blood. It's not a battle of flesh and blood. All you got to do, no matter who's saying what. You stretch out your hand. You have faith. You conquer your mountains. You tread on serpents, right? He fell like lightning from the sky. He who began a good work, he's going to be faithful to complete it in you. Stretch out your hand. Stretch it out. Amen? Amen. Hey, guys, listen, I'm really, really excited about tonight. I want you to come tonight with great expectations. I want you to pray this afternoon, and I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, you prepare my heart. I'm going to stretch out my hand. I've got some mountains that I need you, I need covered. I've got some miracles that I need to happen tonight. You come expectant tonight. Come with your notepad. You take a nap if you need to so you get good and rested. Warm up vocally. We're going to do some fun worship. And big, big things are going to happen tonight, right? We're going to tread on some serpents. We're going to overcome principalities. We're going to have some miracles in our life. Amen? Amen. All right, I love you guys. We'll see you at 7:00.